Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Taking God at His Word, which is part of a series entitled New Creation Identity. The New Testament is filled with verses which tell us who we now are in Christ Jesus. In order to benefit from those verses, they must go from the pages of the Bible to the inside of us. No matter how we feel about what a verse says about us, we must take God at His word that this is truly who we now are in Christ Jesus. We must say it with our mouth until we believe this in our heart. We must take God at His word. I hope that you enjoy this message.
I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another beautiful day today. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to study your word, to discover who we are, who we have become in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this, Father. Tonight we pray that by your Holy Ghost, that you'll open your word to us, that you'll unveil truths to us, and that we'll be changed as a result. Thank you, Lord. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, you have done so much for us. You have given us Jesus and changed our lives as a result. And I pray that we can begin to understand all that you've made available to us in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Over the last 6-7 weeks, we've been talking about our new creation identity. And we've reached the point tonight where we're going to, I think this is going to cap off this series of messages. At least I have an idea that it will. And what we're going to talk about tonight is something that I believe the body of Christ as a whole has been a little negligent in regarding our understanding of who we are as our, as these new creation beings. And a number of years ago, a person by the name of Kenneth Hagin, he must have got it from somewhere else. I'm sure that this has gone on for years and generations, but he discovered the in him scriptures, the in whom and in Christ scriptures. What I'm referring to are the Gospels. You have scriptures that tell you who you are in Christ Jesus. And they say either in Christ or in whom or in him. And, you know, I remember hearing Brother Hagin talking about, and Brother Charles Capps, who wrote a book about just basically with those scriptures in it and confessions. And the reason why I bring this up is, why are those scriptures in the New Testament to begin with? Very simply, it's because God is wanting us to discover our identity, our new identity, as new creation beings. And the only way to do that is to tell us, this is who you are. This is what you have as a result of being a born-again child of God. And so I remember a number of times over the course of my Christian life getting excited about these in him verses and making the confessions. And all that's good. Please don't misunderstand my point here. But my point is, as good as making those confessions can be, there's a reality in those verses that I feel like has eluded us. And within those verses is the revelation of who we really are now. And I think as I look back, and kind of do a self-evaluation of how I was when I made those confessions. What was my mentality? What was I wanting to accomplish? And I feel like as I look back that it became more mechanical, just saying the confessions without fellowshipping with the Lord over those confessions. In other words, instead of just saying something out of rote, out of repetition, because you memorize it, you can say it, and you can go on and on and on. Instead of doing that, maybe I would have been better off had I just taken one or two of those verses at a time and just worshiped the Lord over those verses and thank God for who I have become in Christ Jesus. Now, how much different I am as a human being because I'm born again in my spirit. And the truth of the matter is, I still don't feel like in myself that there is a heartfelt revelation for the new creation identity in me. And so how am I going to change that? Well, the method of change that I've always looked at and felt to be the best is by taking the Word of God and putting the Word of God on the inside of me, particularly the Word of God that deals with the issues that I am needing to have changed in my life. So that being the case, seems to me like instead of just making confessions, the in Him confessions or in Christ or in Him, instead of making them strictly by rote or strictly by repetition and making it some mechanical thing, how about if I fellowship with Jesus? How about if I fellowship with my Heavenly Father and celebrate with Him how these verses have become reality in my life? And in some cases, fellowshipping with them until it does become a reality in my life. Because just saying them once or twice or 10 times and stopping or going on to something else isn't necessarily going to cause that to become a reality. And I don't know when it will. I can't tell you. Each person's different. Each person's experiences are different. But at some point, because I have had this in different areas of my life, particularly like with healing, where I've taken healing verses and fellowship with God over them and worship the Lord for my healing until the manifestation came inside of me. And so I have to think that this is basically the same way. And so you take God's word, meditate on it, worship Him around those verses until they become a reality. Until you see yourself the way those verses describe you. Because this is truly your new identity in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I wrote some notes here, and I'm going to go through some of these because it kind of helps to spur some other points. For too long, the body of Christ has attempted to live the life they thought they were supposed to live instead of discovering who they became at the new birth and living according to what the Bible said about the new man. I'm going to stop there. Seems like religion has told people this is what a Christian is supposed to look like. You can't do this, so stop doing that. You can't dip chewing tobacco, so you better stop doing that because that's not what a Christian looks like. And drinking, you stop drinking. Just stop that, And dancing and messing around and all that kind of stuff, you stop doing that because that's not what a Christian looks like. And so religion went after the external actions in an attempt to cause people to conform to a certain image that they thought the Bible was saying. And I'm not in any way condoning those fleshly actions. But my point is that instead of trying to go after the outward manifestations, the real focus of attention should be on the inner man in changing. And not, well, let me say it in a little different way. Not just not changing, because the change took place the minute we were born again, but allowing that the man on the inside to come to the outside. See, that's what we want, because we're so focused on who we are on the in this outer man that we fail to appreciate the true person that we are on the inside. This outer man, I mean, we identify with this thing far too often, far too often. I mean, you know, an illustration came to me when I was thinking about this. When we go in for to apply for a job, okay, you sit down, they give you the application, and you start filling out all this information and what's it based on. It's every bit of that is based on that outer person. And it's so easy. You sit down and you fill it out, and you know, what year were you born? And you put your date of birth. You know, you put your all your information about your education and all these things. And it's because we so readily identify with who we are in this outer man that we're able to, in many cases, we can just sit there and fill it out. We don't have to look at anything. And we're not looking at notes. We can just go off the top of our head and fill out those applications. How is that? It's because we are so keyed in. We are so in tune with who we are in the, as this outer person. But could we so easily sit down and fill out an application and identify ourselves and the person that we are on the inside? As a reborn human spirit, as a child of the living God, are we as apt to be able to sit down and fill out that application and accurately identify all that has changed in you, all the whole new person that you are, what the verses say about you? Could you do that? And chances are, for the vast majority of us, we couldn't. We could fill out the application about us from the outer man perspective, but if we had to sit down and fill out that application based on the inner man and identify what the Bible says about us, the Bible says we're this in Christ Jesus. We're this in Christ Jesus. We're this. Yeah, and the reason why we couldn't fill that out, it's because it has not been worked into our inner or into who we are. Let me say it that way. It's not become a reality to us on the in our natural thinking. It's not become a reality in our soulish man. You know, our spirit man hasn't come to the forefront. It hasn't been able to manifest because we identify with this outer man so much. It's the outer man that we think is important, and it's not. It's the inner man. You know, these bodies are going to fall off of us in, you know, 40, 50 years from now, depending on how old you are. They're just going to fall off. They're going to just lay there lifeless. And then we're going to continue on and live forever. And so this outer man that we're so quick to identify with, he's going to just drop dead. He's going to be dead. And the real person that we are is going to step forward. We're going to see ourselves like we have never, ever seen ourselves. And I think for most Christians, they're going to look, and it's going to be such a shock to realize who they are, that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that they are righteous, the very righteousness of God. We have no idea what that means. We can see the verse. We can read it. And with our natural minds, we'll not comprehend it. So what do we have to do? We need to spend time with the Holy Ghost, time with God, and worship Him and thank Him that we are the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and thank Him for it until the revelation of it begins to open up inside of us, and we begin to see ourselves the way the Bible says we are. It'll change everything. You see, when that change happens, when we see ourselves through the eyes of the Word of God, when we see ourselves as that person, you don't have to do like what the church is saying and tell people, stop doing this, stop doing that, don't do this, don't do that. You don't have to. Why is that? It's because this new man that we already are, as the revelation settles into us, we recognize, I'm not that person anymore that desired that fleshly stuff. That's not who I am. My identity has changed. That person that was so caught up with gratifying the flesh, that person's dead. I am a new creation. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank God. See, this is what God has intended to happen in every believer since the time of Jesus rising from the dead, from the time of the upper room experience for the disciples. His intent was for believers to discover, to acknowledge who they became when they were born again. Recognize it based on the Word of God. See themselves as different people. Yes, it's just not something that you hear taught very often, and as a result, people just don't, they're not aware. They don't think about the fact that what the Bible says about us is true. What the Bible says, who the Bible says we are now, is truth. It's truth. And it has to come from the inside out on us. And it's us that will initiate this change and cause this transformation to take place. And this transformation is simply the new man coming to the forefront and us acknowledging our new identity in Christ Jesus. See, the identity changed at the cross. And when we receive that change in our identity is the moment that we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. Our identity changes. The old man dies. There is a new creation. There's a new birth inside of us. A person comes into existence that never before existed. And you might say, but I'm still the same person on the outside, my physical body. It didn't change at all. No, it didn't. But the change that took place on the inside was such a catastrophic change. It was such a change from darkness to light, from death to life. A new creation came into existence, and it was so important to God that we discover and acknowledge and appreciate this new creation, that He gave us verse after verse after verse telling us, this is who you are. This is what you have. But instead of us taking the time to allow those verses to create that image within us, to unfold this truth, the Holy Ghost unfold this truth to us. Instead of doing that, we just thought we would just stop doing all the bad things, and God would be, that would be cool with God. We stop doing the bad things and He's happy. We missed the boat. We got caught up in religion. That's religious thinking. Thinking that just by stopping on the physical action on the outer man, that anything has taken place on the inside. That's not the case. The cart's in front of the horse. We don't stop doing the outside and in doing so cause anything to happen on the inside. The inside takes place, and then it's up to us to take the Word of God and to cause a transformation to take place in our outer man, so that our outer man can recognize and appreciate who we have become in Christ Jesus. This is where the victory is. I am so convinced of it. This is where the overcoming happens. It happens right here. It happens where a person stops wondering about who they have become in Christ Jesus, and that wondering changes to a heartfelt revelation, to a rock solid conviction on the inside of them of who they've become. See, there's a huge difference from what you see in most Christians, where most Christians they got no idea, because they haven't taken time to even look up the verses, to even find the verses, and then they haven't taken time to put the verses inside of them, to speak them out, to confess. And I'm not sitting here in judgment over anybody. I've done this and stopped and done it and stopped. So I'm not saying that I've arrived with this. But what I am saying is I can see that this is a very important key for our overall success on this earth as the children of God. I can see that much. And let's look at some verses that we've been looking at in Hebrews, and just kind of, we'll work into this a little bit more. Hebrews chapter 2. We left off here last week in the last part of chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted. And the reason why I wanted to start here, I just wanted to reemphasize this last verse. In that he himself, this is Jesus, hath suffered being tempted. That suffering, I don't think that we could ever truly appreciate what it meant for God to clothe himself in human flesh and to suffer. Being tempted of the enemy, he suffered on our behalf. Man, I said this last week, that Jesus, as he existed in heaven as the Word, before the Word was made flesh, he existed throughout all of eternity with God, with the Father, and never suffered. Never. There was no suffering, ever, until he clothed himself in human flesh and became a man and suffered and was tempted and did all of that, so that our identity could change. so that we could become different people. First, he had to become the different person. And we see that in 2 Corinthians. And we've looked at that several different times throughout this study. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if you'd like to turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the reason for that is because first it happened in him, in Christ. He had to first become the firstborn from the dead. Back in Hebrews, it says that, where he's in verse of chapter 1, verse 6 of Hebrews, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, that first begotten into the world is Jesus in his new birth. He was recreated, born again, the first one, first begotten from the dead. Boy, if we could ever appreciate the fact that he suffered, he died, he paved the way for us to go out of death and into life, but he himself first had to experience all the pain of death, all of the pain of sin. And not that he sinned himself, but that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, there's another one of those verses. In Christ Jesus. Praise God for that. And see, we can take that kind of a verse right there, and we can just sit and worship God, not make it some mechanical thing that we just, oh, I've got to say this today. I say this every day. I have to do it. See, you've just taken it out of the realm of fellowship and put it in the realm of works. And when you do it, it's void of life. Now, the word itself has life in it, but if you make it some kind of a religious, ritualistic, mechanical something, you're robbing from yourself the richness of fellowshipping with God around his word and just worshiping him and thanking him that in Christ Jesus, that I have these things. Glory to God. This is who I am. This is what I have in you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus, I am the righteousness of God in you. Well, you know, people that are religious minded, they don't like that. They don't like hearing that because to them, how they hear that is what they hear is you just think you're something special. You know, that's what they hear. Someone that's saying that from a right heart motive, that's not in your heart. That's not what you're saying. You're saying that, God, you did this for me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am this way because I identify myself in him as my representative. He's the one that did all this for me. I didn't deserve it. He made me worthy. Glory to God. See, there's such a difference in doing this from a position of fellowship with the Father versus doing this from a mechanical, ritualistic, law-driven attitude. Huge difference. And you'll see much better results when you do this based on love. A love relationship, a love fellowship with your Father, and thanking him for all these things. Because you did this for me. And this is how it goes from being just an idea in your mind to a living reality where you see yourself this way. You know, and how can you say that, Mark? I've seen this for myself when it comes to the area of healing. I'm speaking specifically of instances where there was sickness in my body, and I took God's word and I stood on that word and I confessed it and I worshiped God and fellowshiped with him and rejoiced in my healing. And I could see it. It became a reality to me. And until the fact that my eyes were healed. When my eyes had the symptoms of chronic dry eye. And how, boy, I tell you what, if that ever tries to afflict you, boy, it can be miserable. And you can really wallow around in that junk if you want to. Or you can take God's word and you can identify in his word and see yourself as the healed person that you truly are, because that's what God said you are, and fellowship until that reality manifests inside of you and you have that picture of health and you see that you're disease free in my case is in my eyes, and there it is. So, and I believe the same is true here. I believe the same is true when it comes to acknowledging, recognizing, appreciating this new creation identity, which is everything that we have, everything that we are, everything the Bible says we are in Christ, in him, in whom. Any one of those combinations of words of in him, in Christ, in whom is God's word telling us, showing us, this is who you are now. You know, we could go in and fill out, we should be able to go in and fill out an application, if you allow me to say it this way, where we put down all of our information about who we are in Christ Jesus. And we can fill that out based on the word of God, and we're not stumbling and we're not wondering what do I have again? Do I have this righteousness or not? See, if you're wondering about that, it's not a heartfelt revelation. It's not a reality inside of you. You can always tell what's a living truth inside a person when they go to try to say it. Because if they can't say it, it is not a living revelation on the inside of them. But boy, I tell you what, when it is, it comes out just like rifle fire. Boom, 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 boom. And you know that this person has a vivid image of this living on the inside of them. They're not guessing. They're not trying to remember what it was. It's right there on the top. This is who I am. This is what I have. And glory to God. We need to have this. We need this because this new creation identity, it's who we are now, right now. Not when we get off into heaven. We will be there. We will be this person then, but we are this person right now. See, that transition from earthbound to being in heaven, it's going to be a seamless transition for us. We can only see that there's not some big disconnect. It's seamless. Our bodies are just going to drop right off of us, and we are going to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And who we are in our new creation identity, that it's exactly the same in that moment when this flesh drops off of us as it is right now Why wait till then to discover all of this when we can live this way right here, right now? We don't have to wait till we go to heaven to enjoy the benefits. We need to enjoy the benefits right now of what God's made available to us to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Again, I keep saying this, we just can't even hardly grasp what that means. But I have a feeling that if we can at least start scratching the surface of it, just that one truth will so rock our world. Oh my goodness. To think that the righteousness of God Himself, to be the righteousness of God Himself in Christ Jesus. And every person that's born again, this is who you are. This is who you are. Glory to God. Well, let me read a few more of my notes here. We measure ourselves based on our outer man instead of our inner man. Israel, talking about Israel after they left Egypt, after they were delivered out of Egypt, Israel could not see themselves beyond being slaves. They couldn't, even after they were delivered out of Egypt, they still identified themselves as slaves in their mind. They didn't see themselves as the free men that they were. And as a result, the older ones never did get to enter into the promised land. See, there's promises to us that we have received from God through Jesus, through an inheritance. These promises, these precious promises that God has made to us, belong to us right now. And it's up to us to believe that they belong to us, to acknowledge these things. This is who I am. This is what I have. And He's not, in other words, He's not going to do this for us. And God will sit back and wait on us to do these things. He's done everything. In Christ Jesus, He's done everything to get these precious promises over to us, which I'm sure includes the righteous, being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm sure of that. He's done everything for us for this reality to be ours, but He can't do the rest. It's up to us on an individual basis to take God, take His word, and to feed on it, to fellowship with Him around it, to confess it, to say it, to say, this is who I am, this is what I have, hallelujah, until it's a reality to us. Their unwillingness, this is Israel, their unwillingness to turn loose of who they were and embrace who they had become kept the older ones from entering the land. Looking back, idolizing the old person we used to be only hinders us from stepping into who we have become. That is so true. Looking back, and the enemy is so good at trying to get us to look back, to focus on our past, to identify with that old person. You're not that old person anymore. When you got born again, that old person ceased to exist, and a new creation came into existence. But as long as you continue to identify, to see yourself as that old person, you are going to continue to be subject to the same bondages that all the rest of the world's subject to. You got to break free of that. See yourself free in Christ. Glory to God. So, as I finish up here this evening, what I wanted to do is just to go over a few of these verses and to appreciate what the Word is saying about us, and to kind of give you a little demonstration of maybe what I believe the Lord is wanting us to do as we fellowship with Him around these verses. The first one is Romans 3:24. We'll go back here a few verses. Let's just go from 20 down. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You're justified. I am justified freely by His grace. Glory to God. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, I am redeemed. I identify myself in the cross, in Jesus, in His death, burial, and resurrection. I am redeemed. And in this redemption, I am justified freely by His grace, as if I had never, ever sinned. So what am I going to do with a verse like this? Well, you can just go through it and recite it and say it repetitiously if you want to. Or you can take the verse like this and you can just worship God with this verse. Father, I thank You in Christ Jesus, in the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. I thank You that I am redeemed. Hallelujah. I am justified. Oh, Father, I thank You. I'm justified freely by Your grace. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, that I am justified. That it is just as if I had never sinned. Thank You, Father. We worship You. See, there you're taking God's Word and you're presenting it back to Him. But you're not doing it in a mechanical way. You're doing it in a way that it's fellowship with Him. And I truly believe that this is what He is wanting from us. To fellowship with Him. To fellowship with Him with His Word. And in so doing, His Word becomes such a reality to us. And we begin to acknowledge our new creation identity. We begin to recognize, this is who I am. This is what I have. I see myself in Christ, and consequently, I see myself justified freely by His grace. Glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's go over to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation, no condemning sentence to them which are in Christ Jesus. Again, in Christ Jesus means I am acknowledging Him. I identify myself in Him. He is Lord. I have surrendered my life to Him. He is my representative in this covenant. The covenant between Him and God the Father. He is my covenant representative. The only begotten Son of God who died on that cross. Son of God, Son of Man, I recognize him as my representative, and in so doing, I take my place in the covenant between the first begotten from the dead and God the Father, and I see myself in Christ. I see myself right, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I see myself justified. This is who I am. This is what I have. Glory to God. This is my new identity. God doesn't want us to be oblivious to who we are. He doesn't want us to be, humble. So, this fake humility. Oh, I could never say that about myself. Well, he said it about you. He's the one that said it about you. You're not the one saying it about yourself. You didn't originate it. You didn't originate the thought. God did. And it's up to us to simply acknowledge, okay, God, I agree with you. I accept this from you. I accept who I am. See, it's very simple. I didn't make myself righteous. I'm only acknowledging and accepting and thanking you, God, that you made me this way in Christ Jesus. You're the one that had the master plan. Hallelujah. Not me. You're the one that had all of these things worked out. And it was because of what? Your great love for me. And so all I'm doing is saying, okay, God, I see it. Thank you for it. This is who I am now. Not because I said it, but because you said it first about me, and I'm only acknowledging it, and I'm appreciating it, and I'm recognizing it, and I'm taking advantage of it. Oh, you don't have any right to do that, Mark. You can't take God's word like that. Oh, with somebody that thinks that way, I feel sorry for you, because that's exactly how I take God at his word every single time. That's how I got saved. That's how I get healed, receive my healing. And that's how I receive everything else from God. By his word, because he cannot lie. And he cannot change. He'll never change. So that's what he expects out of us. And so that's what I am going to do. Read Romans 8:1 again. There is therefore now no condemnation, no condemning sentence against you. Before we were born again, there was a condemning sentence against each and every one of us. Death. We were condemned to eternity in hell, in the lake of fire, forever separated from God, because the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, no more condemning sentence. All of that was laid on him. And all we have to do is receive it, accept it, acknowledge it, walk in it, appreciate it, thank God for it, and not lose sight of what he's done for us. There's therefore now, no condemnation, no condemning sentence to them which are in Christ. I'm in Christ. Well, how did I get in Christ? Because I said, I acknowledge you as my Lord. I see that you did this for me. You went to the cross for me, and you did it with the sole purpose of me saying, I give myself to you, I acknowledge you, I recognize myself in you now, and as a result, I receive all the benefits. He did everything. He did it with the intent of me surrendering to him and receiving the benefits of all of his actions, not my actions. See, that's where religion wants to point to our actions. Did you wash your hands a certain number of ways? That was the Pharisees. You have to wash your hands a certain number, a certain way. You have to do this. You have to do that. No. In Christ Jesus, he did everything. All I have to do is receive it by faith. And again, here's what religion wants to do. Well, you got to stop doing this, and you got to stop doing this. See, that's going back to directing the attention to my actions instead of directing my attention to the actions that Jesus demonstrated on the cross, and seeing myself in him and receiving the benefits of his actions and receiving it by faith. Glory to God. And once I do that and the change takes place, instead of me trying to stop doing this, stop doing that, what I need to do is focus on who I am now. And as I do that, as I thank God for the fact that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, you, as you're doing that, as you're thanking God that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, it's going to become a whole lot more difficult for you to sit there as you're doing that and meditate on things that are sinful. You see, if you have all of your attention on Jesus, all of your attention on the Father, and you're worshiping him and you're thanking him that he has made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you're doing that, you're not sitting there contemplating sinful things. Now, I'm not saying that the devil is going to, you know, leave you alone, and he's not going to maybe try to torment you and get you to accept some kind of thoughts, in, you know, sinful thoughts. But you just have to kick that junk out. Keep your attention on Jesus. Focus on him. And as you will do that, as you train yourself to do that, what you'll discover is that your heart isn't to go the wrong way. It's not to do the wrong things anymore. That was the old man. You know, am I saying that you'll be perfect? No, none of us are perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have opportunities where you're going to sin, and you need to repent, and you need to receive forgiveness. But the focus of your attention should be on who you are now in Christ Jesus. The focus of attention on him and what he's done for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at verse 2. We'll just do verse 1 again. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. In Christ Jesus. Are we in Christ? Yes, we are. We are free from the law of sin and death and all of its offspring. Anything that can trace its origin back to sin and death, you and I are free of it if we've made Jesus Lord of your life. Because we identify ourselves in him. Let me read that verse again. Law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. I'm free. I'm free. In other words, I don't have to bow my knee to the devil and to sin any longer. I resist the enemy and he flees from me. I submit myself to God and resist the devil, and he flees. Hallelujah. But see, it's the choices that I make, the direction of my focus of my focus of attention. Where is it at? What am I focusing on? Am I focusing on myself? Or am I focusing on Jesus and who he made me? See, it's a big difference. This will set you free because he's already set us free. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. So this verse right here, what this verse is going to tell us is this is who we are and what we have together. Verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I'm telling you what, in that verse right there, that is a mouthful. That covers every single area of our existence. Look at this. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, the wisdom of God, righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, sanctification and redemption. See, a verse like this, boy, you can just take this verse. Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you, God, for wisdom, for righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. This is mine. This is what I have in Jesus, in Christ, in Christ. This is what I have. This is who I am. Thank you, Father, for your wisdom alive on the inside of me. Glory to God. See, to me, I think that the Father enjoys that much more than just simply confessing and just our attention is off on something else and we're just kind of doing this out of a repetition, out of habit. I'm going to make this confession. See, I would propose to you that if you look up these verses, the in him, the in whom, in Christ verses, and you don't try to read all of them. Just look at the ones that really speak to you at the moment and just fellowship with God around those verses. Let him direct you. Let him draw your attention to one over here and one over in this other part, and allow him to bring the word to life to you. Glory to God. I think I'm about out of time here. 2 Corinthians 2:14 will be our last one. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Thank you, God. Boy, you talk about one a verse to end up on for tonight. Thank you, God. I thank you that you have caused me to every single time to triumph in Christ Jesus. There's no defeat here. I have victory every single time. I thank you, God. And see, when do you want to focus on a verse like that? When it looks like you're about to go under. When it looks like the devil has taken his best shot and there's nothing left for you to stand on. You stand on this verse right here that you are always triumphant, always in Christ Jesus. Always, 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 always. Thank you, Jesus. See, that right there excites me. That just turns me on. That we are always triumphant in Christ Jesus. Always. Thank you, Father. Well, I hope that blessed you tonight. Our acknowledging our new creation identity, acknowledging this. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you, Father. I thank you for our new creation identity. I thank you, Father, for these verses that tell us who we are. Hallelujah. And I pray, Father, that there's an excitement in our heart to look up these verses and to confess them and fellowship with you around them, an excitement to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.